Defend your vehicle from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Original Protectant. For a limited time, O'Reilly Auto Parts has a great deal on a 16-ounce bottle of Armor All Protectant for $4.99. Renew, revitalize, and protect your vehicle with Armor All Protectant. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All summer, it's go, go, go. But before you go anywhere, get in to the Hyundai Epic Summer Sales Event featuring epic savings on the 2018 Elantra, the Sonata, and the full Hyundai lineup of SUVs. The 7-passenger Santa Fe, Santa Fe Sport, Tucson, and first ever Kona. And every Hyundai comes backed by America's best warranty, including a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Plus, not only will you save during the Hyundai Epic Summer Sales Event, Hyundai also has the lowest 5-year cost of ownership of all brands for 2018, according to Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. But don't wait, because while summer might be go, 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 the Hyundai Epic Summer Sales Event is going, going, gone. Get up to $3,000 in total savings on the Tucson, or up to $3,750 in total savings on the Santa Fe Sport. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Call 877-248-1585 for details. Lowest 5-year cost of ownership claim based on the average 2018 Kelley Blue Book 5-year cost to own data. Visit KBB.com for information. America's best warranty claim based on total package of warranty programs. See dealer for limited warranty details.
Hey Cubs fans, your son or daughter could be the kid of the game at the Cubs home game on September 16th. Enter to win at Chicago's Pastime page on Facebook. Prize package includes the opportunity to say play ball over the PA before the game, kid of the game t-shirt, and 4 tickets to the game. The contest is sponsored by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Foods. Buy Chicago Cubs Edition waffles and appetizers at Angelo Caputo's, Hy-Vee, Pete's Market, and Tony's Fine Foods. Enter the contest on Chicago's Pastime Facebook page to win an experience your child will never forget.
Pre-owned warranties.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Start celebrating the Wolves' 25th anniversary season early by visiting the larger-than-life Wolves goalie mask located up and down Michigan Avenue, and circle your calendar for the Wolves' home opener at Allstate Arena on October 13th. The Cubs are a perfect 5-0 with Daniel Murphy in the lineup. Insider John Heyman with Mullion Haw.
Not sure why no other team blocked. The Cubs are very close to the luxury threshold. There are other teams that are not that close that could have blocked them and didn't do it and prevented the Cubs from getting a really good hitter, one of the better hitters in baseball. I think since 2016, he's a .330 hitter, which is better than anybody but Altuve. That's pretty good.
Murphy has 2 homers and an OPS over 1,100 with the Cubs. Heyman interview available on 670thescore.com. It's going to be a John Lester-Noah Syndergaard pitching matchup for Cubs-Mets series opener. A 7:05 first pitch on the score, and Chris Bryant starts a rehab stint for Iowa. Carlos Rodon has a 1.75 ERA in his last 8 starts. The White Sox ace will pitch at Yankee Stadium against Masahiro Tanaka. To football, the Bears practice this afternoon, their 5th and final preseason game coming up on Thursday. Rams head coach Sean McVay says there's no update on holdout Aaron Donald. And in college, USC has named true freshman JT Daniels their starting quarterback. This update was brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. And fantasy football today on The Score is sponsored by Great Clips. Is your hair becoming the subject of mocking at the draft? Get a great cut now at Great Clips. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score is tonight at 6:30 when the Cubs take on the Mets. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here's the snap, the takeaway, handing off. Cunningham is hit, but he bounces off left to the 10 to the 5, into the end zone, standing up untouched. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! 13-yard run, Benny Cunningham. And the Bears march quickly down the field. In just less than 3 minutes, and they're on the board here at Soldier Field, 6-0.
It could be. Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I really do. This is not about trying to set anything to, like, this is just about us where we're at right now. This is this year, right now. We have 5 preseason games.
You go, Matt Nagy. You
can do what he wants. It's his team. And if when anybody else gets their own NFL team, they can play their starters as much as they want. It's our brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. You heard the Benny Cunningham touchdown. It's called by Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. We are now joined by Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. He is on Twitter at @Rich_Campbell. He's going to be a part of our Bears coverage on the Bernstein and McKnight show, and here he is. So, you were in that room with Matt Nagy, and do you agree with me, Rich, that the significance isn't just in the decision that he made, and it isn't just in how he explained his rationale, but the fact that he waved off the PR guy and was there to say, I've got things to say, and I am not afraid of any of your questions. I can acknowledge your disagreements. I thought that was a hell of a performance from a grown adult.
Yeah, and let's be clear, when you say performance, it was genuine. You know, he wasn't grandstanding or anything. I think that's just who he is. And this was a real gift, this whole decision. It was a real gift to all of us who are still getting to know who Nagy is, because it just peeled back a layer of the onion that he has conviction. He is self-assured, confident. He's willing to explain himself. He's willing to entertain the critics and address them in a reasonable way, certainly much more clearly, much more professionally than his predecessor. So all the way around, I agree with you. And we're just continuing to learn more about him. This might be the biggest revelation yet, the way he handled himself after the game.
You know, Rich, one of the things we were kind of batting around in the first hour of the show is whether there's ever going to be proof of concept here, whether there's going to be any definitive anything about playing or not playing his starters in this game. Do you feel as though that's ever going to be gleaned from this decision? Do you feel as though there's ever going to be a proof of concept here? Or is this something we're just going to have to trust where, you know, his scheme is his scheme, and if it works, it works, and it'll be independent of these 25, 30 snaps?
No, we'll never know, because we won't know who would have gotten hurt had they played. And that was one of the things I was muttering to myself and anybody who would listen on Press Row on Saturday, was that a year ago, the Bears went to Tennessee. They lost Cam Meredith to an ACL and MCL injury, and it helped wreck their season. It really did. It's sort of sorry to say that an undrafted receiver's injury wrecked their season, but that's what the Bears were then, and it is what happened. And so we'll never know who might have gotten hurt had they traveled down this alternate path. But what we do know is that when the Bears take the field at Lambeau 2 weeks from yesterday, Mitch Trubisky will be there, Allen Robinson will be there, Taylor Gabriel will be there, Tariq Cohen will be there. The offense, with the exception of Adam Shaheen, will be intact. And that alone, I think, needs to at least be appreciated by the critics here, that, okay, he didn't get those snaps. You know, Trubisky didn't take those 35 snaps, but they're all going to show up and they're all going to be dressed. And the bigger issue, the bigger element for me here, is that Nagy doubled down on his request for patience and time from the fan base in that press conference on Saturday. He repeated himself. You know, he said, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. This is going to take time. And in his mind, the 30 snaps in a practice game weren't going to get them to be the finished product that he says they probably won't be for a year or two. And it goes back to this theme, this overarching theme of this whole season: patience of a new coach and a new system and an inexperienced quarterback versus the urgency for a franchise that hasn't been to the playoffs since 2010, that has lost more games in the last 4 years than every franchise except the Cleveland Browns, and have four double-digit loss last-place seasons. It's this patience versus urgency, and Nagy is standing at the podium asking the fans for their patience, and it'll be interesting to see if he gets it.
What I find somewhat in conflict is he's embodying what John Fox always said he wanted to do, where John Fox would say, I want to under-promise and over-deliver. And he would say it, but I don't know if he was actually doing it, where Matt Nagy appears to be doing that, while at the same time, in a positively arrogant way, telling you how good and how valuable his own practices are. So on the one hand, you're right. It could be sort of a passive lowering of expectations, But then I could say, all right, if your practices are this good, these 2,000 snaps, if there's so much meaning in all these practices, why shouldn't I think that you would be further along if that's the case? Like, you kind of can't have it both ways if you're also, you're getting these incredibly valuable, meaningful practices and still, oh, this is going to take some time. Well, if your practices are so good, why?
Right. This is a great point. And for everyone out there who didn't make it to Bourbonnais and the only glimpse you've gotten of this offense and its progress are the Bengals game and the Broncos game, the 34 snaps that were combined in those two games, then you're sort of wondering, right? I mean, you've seen the inconsistencies. It's everything from, you know, Mitch Trubisky hitting Trey Burton to beat a blitz against the Broncos and then later in that game dropping a snap in the end zone. And Mitch has been inconsistent. This whole offense has been inconsistent. And as someone who has seen as many of these practice snaps as anyone, I would reiterate that. They're inconsistent. They're not ready to be a playoff team right now. I do think the team's going to improve as the season goes along, but I'm with you. There's nothing to me that has stood out even about, one, how physical their practices have been, and two, how sharp their offense looks in practice. And so I do think that Nagy earns and is justified in saying, as he did Saturday, I know the pulse of this team better than anyone. I don't think there's any question about that. So you better be right, right? I mean, a new coach inheriting this team with an impatient fan base, you better be right. And you better have the results on the field sooner rather than later then to back this up. Show the progress. And if it's evident, as we start to get into the Green Bay game, the Seattle game, Arizona, Tampa Bay, that first month that they're ascending and they're starting to minimize these incompletions and penalties and mistakes, then I think he's going to end up coming out of this, if not looking smart, at least okay, that he will have the confidence of the fans.
Talking over the fourth preseason game of the year for the Bears with Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Since this is, Rich, the fourth, and there will be a fifth preseason game where assumedly there will be a bunch of battles for spots and roster positions, all that kind of stuff. Anybody make this team on Saturday? Anybody make a performance that's irrefutable in your mind?
Well, I think Javon Wims certainly stood out. Four catches, 114 yards. And remember, he flashed in the Hall of Fame game and what was one of the few players in that otherwise sleepy game that sort of stood out. And we've seen either undrafted receivers or seventh-round picks, you know, these late-round receivers in the past flash, but nothing like Wims. No one with real NFL body type and this ability that you see. It was after the catch, his refinement with route running, and then that body control to get both feet in on the touchdown that he caught was excellent. And the Bears, for all they've done at receiver this offseason in terms of casting the net very wide to try to overhaul this position and find some players, they are not well-stocked enough with healthy, proven receivers to cut a receiver that did what Javon Wims did against the Chiefs' twos on Saturday. They're just not. That you sign Robinson, Gabriel, you draft Anthony Miller, you're trying to bring Kevin White along, and you also drafted Javon Wims. Not all of those guys are going to hit for you. So if you have a guy who shows anything like Javon Wims did, you keep him on the roster. I think they'll keep six receivers. I think the six have established themselves. Robinson, Gabriel, Miller, Kevin White, Josh Bellamy, and now Javon Wims. And he's got to be the sixth guy. We'll see how it ends up shaking out. But for me, he's an NFL player. And I think you saw it with the way he ran after the catch, his straight line speed. He's got that little subtle route stem that freed him on that 54-yard catch and run. He really had a great game in terms of production. I think he makes the team off that.
I want to double back momentarily to what you said about Adam Shaheen probably not being ready. That got weird because we saw the injury. It looked bad. They said, no, it's just a sprained ankle. And then we sort of found out cryptically, well, there's something wrong with his foot. I believe Nagy was asked directly, is there a Lisfranc issue that we know all too well because of the number of Bears that have suffered that injury. And now the quiet is a little unnerving. Is there a possibility the Shaheen injury is significantly worse than we've heard?
Yes. I think so, because of exactly what you said, that initially it was ankle, then they sort of held back and said, oh, we need more tests. Then it was foot. And sometimes when you turn your ankle, I actually did this when I was a kid, but turn your ankle and some of the tendons and ligaments, I mean, it can pull a bone chip off. They have not said for sure what the foot injury is. You know, Nagy initially said he didn't think it was a fracture, but I don't think we have clarity on that. Specifically with Shaheen, who has not been around the team, he wasn't even at practices last week. In order for the Bears, if they want to put him on injured reserve, and, you know, they can designate him to return at some point if they did that, but he's got to make the 53 before they could do the IR. And so let's see where Shaheen is on, say, Wednesday of next week, because then you'd have a good idea that he's going to miss months. You know, that's a designation that requires a lot of time out. And I think based on the information we have right now, we have to consider that a possibility.
Where's Roquan Smith at? And where is the expectation for him on Thursday? I mean, is there any chance that 100% he gets game action? It would be kind of, I mean, we face a circumstance where perhaps he plays no preseason, has the holdout, and then starts?
Yeah, so as we sort of catch our breath and then finish up this little four-day sprint to the end of the preseason, it's now shifting back to the Roquan watch. And the Bears, they made an interesting change to their schedule last night. These two practices were originally scheduled to be open to the media in their entirety. But last night we found that they decided to go to a regular season schedule, which only opens practices for the first 15 minutes. So this leads me to believe two things. Number one, they're going to start game planning for Green Bay this week, and they don't want media seeing it. And number two, they also don't want media seeing who's injured, and particularly this micro-focus on Roquan. And so we're going to have to take Nagy's word for how much action he got in practices these next 2 days. Now, obviously Nagy operated over the weekend with an abundance of caution in terms of injuries and his key players. So you would think that would apply to Smith as well. But it's not apples to apples, because Nagy justified that caution by saying, you know, the starters have had incredible practices, 2,000 snaps from OTAs till now. Roquan Smith has had a fraction of that and almost none at full speed. So I would not at all be surprised if he plays Thursday night. I still think it at least right now, before we see what he is, don't expect him to start on Sunday night, the ninth against the Packers, that maybe he plays some of that game and they could rotate him in situationally for a certain package or however they feel comfortable with. Let's see what happens over the next couple days with him. But, yeah, we're back on the Roquan watch now, and I don't think there's a lot of clarity there.
We got some extended looks at James Daniels, who played much of that game. The snaps were fine. Anytime you don't notice a shotgun snap, that means that's good. But the blocking, not so good. Really struggled in some areas of the field, re-anchoring, getting leverage. We know that Earl Watford was let go. I don't know how hard they tried to trade him to grab a late-round pick, but it looks like Bradley Sowell's going to make the team. We know the versatility of Whitehair and Cush and Daniels and all that they can do. And Hieronis Grassou, we assume, is going to be cut. What did we learn about how many linemen they're going to keep and who's going to be where and when?
So I'm just operating under the loose assumption that they're going to keep eight, because this is generally what they've done. I believe they kept nine. 1 year, I had my spreadsheet up earlier. I've closed it and don't have quick access to it. But I think they kept, in the Ryan Pace era, they've kept eight, two out of the 3 years, and kept nine one other time. So I completely agree with you about Daniels at center the other day. He was pushed around by Chiefs rookie nose tackle Derek Nnadi. And Nnadi is a third rounder out of Florida State. So drafted behind Daniels in this class, and Nadi controlled him very consistently, you know, just out-muscling Daniels at the point of attack, you know, consistently. And I thought, okay, this is why they don't feel comfortable with starting him right now, whether it's at guard or center. So that's at least a bit of data that coaches can use. Now, I think part of the Daniels discussion involves left guard and Eric Cush and how well Cush can play. Let's just keep in mind Daniels is a young player, and for the sake of the roster discussion, okay, he's on the team, whether he's the fifth or sixth guy. I think he's the sixth. I agree with you that I think Bradley Soule is the seventh as the swing tackle, and so it leaves a question about the eighth. And Earl Watford had been the guard replacing Kyle Long when Kyle Long would take his rest days, and so now he is gone. And you look further down the depth chart, and you get the sense that the Bears are in the same boat as a ton of teams across the NFL, and that is dealing with a shortage of quality offensive line depth. I think any offensive lineman that's cut on Saturday is going to have a chance to land somewhere else, because teams all over the league don't like their offensive line depth. And so maybe the eighth guy isn't on the team right now. Could it be Jordan Morgan, the draft pick from a year ago? He's been with the threes all camp. To me, seems like a practice squad player. I'm also with you, Dan, that Fronis Grisou doesn't, you know, I don't see him contributing to this team. It'd be an incredible disappointment for the player drafted 70th overall in 2015. I mean, that'd be a quick exit from the team for somebody drafted that high. But he doesn't have that position versatility that you need at the bottom of the offensive line depth chart. So I think that eighth position is cloudy. And if you're keeping your best 53, I don't think you're going beyond eight.
So, Rich, just to before we let you go, brace ourselves for what is a short week and what will presumably be a Tyler Bray evening of football. We're going to watch a lot of that, right? Are they keeping three quarterbacks, and how comfortable are you watching as much Tyler Bray as you know you're going to have to watch?
Well, not only did the Bears keep a third quarterback last year when they knew he wasn't going to play in Mark Sanchez, but Andy Reid with the Chiefs almost always keeps three quarterbacks. I believe they kept four last year, but at least three. So just trying to put ourselves in Matt Nagy's brain and understanding how much they're invested in Mitch. And if Nagy is saying, look, it's going to take time, do they want to keep that roster spot for a quarterback who's not going to play, but they feel like maybe Mitch can benefit from his presence, benefit from Bray's experience in the system? He's played, you know, this is his fifth year in this offense. So he does offer something in terms of meetings and a sounding board, at least for game planning and practice, all that. Or do you give it to a fifth running back, the ninth lineman? I mean, I think you invest in the quarterback, especially when you understand that you're not on the cusp of, you know, a division championship. So I do expect them to keep Tyler Bray. If they don't, I won't be surprised one bit. And I will say this about him, for as you know, uncompelling as a third quarterback play is in the preseason, he did drop in a nice ball to Javon Wims on that 44-yarder the other day. So it won't be all shut your eyes and count down the clock on Thursday night. But, yeah, we can't get to Labor Day fast enough, and we can start looking forward to real game.
Rich Campbell, thank you.
Have a great week, guys.
He of the Tribune, Rich Campbell, part of their massive Bears coverage and ours as well.
It's a great term, shut your eyes and count down the clock in that last preseason game.
That's what Andy Reid did.
Yep.
I mean, when you think about it, he could have tried to win that game and he's like, yeah, screw it.
Oh, the hell with that.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's go eat.
He's right. Tyler Bray dropped that ball in very nicely.
Yes, true. Credit where credit is due.
Absolutely
and
true.
Some baseball talk when we come back. You arrived very, very excited about the performance of one Michael Kopech.
I did.
And since you are the resident doctor of pitching,
which is a sad state of our pitching hospital, but yes,
we'll have you break it down for us, part of our pitching infrastructure. Before we talk to three pitchers later on coming up at noon, it's going to be Cole Hamels, Jesse Chavez, and Brandon Kinsler joining us, Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Cubs fans, Albert Almora Jr. joins the McNeil and Parkin Show tomorrow at 2.
We're a great family in there, and we just got to keep grinding. There's no reason to freak out or to try more. That will never bring out the best out of us.
Albert Almora Jr. talks Cubs with McNeil and Parkins, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, and today's birthday shout-out goes to Hall of Famer Jim Thome. Last month, Thome delivered a stirring Cooperstown induction speech displaying his legendary work ethic. The slugger spent months practicing it using a backyard hedge as his lectern. These last few months have been an absolute whirlwind for a kid that grew up in Peoria, Illinois. Hitting rocks in our gravel driveway, Thome declared. To every kid dreaming of standing here one day, take it one moment at a time. Don't sail too high or sink too low. Learn to be good at handling failure. Be the first one to the ballpark. Be the last one to leave. Work hard. Don't complain. Be a great teammate. Ask other people about themselves. You never know what you might learn. And above all, treat people with respect. Talk about a role model. Happy 48th birthday, Tomer. Have a great, great day. I'm Boomer Esiason.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Buying a home should be one of life's best experiences, but today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments. And that can turn a great experience into an anxious one. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. It's called the Power Buying Process. We check your income, assets, and credit to provide you with a verified approval, which can give you the strength of a cash buyer. Once verified, you qualify for our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days while you find your new home. Then, once you've found your new home, if rates have gone up, your rate stays locked. But if rates have gone down, your rate drops, and you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who was second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Milwaukee Brewers Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Festival Foods. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
Need auto parts but can't get to a store right now? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com. Buy your parts online and pick them up in any of the 5,000 O'Reilly Auto Parts stores nationwide. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At The Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. And bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Right now at Sprint, get the super powerful new Samsung Galaxy Note 9 at 50% off with a Sprint Flex lease. Plus, get annual upgrades with Galaxy Forever. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Note 9, $2,083 per month after $2,084 per month. Credit applied within 2 bills. Requires new line and 18-month lease. Early termination results and remaining balance due. Upgrade after 12 lease payments. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Excludes taxes. Requires qualifying plan. Subject to credit, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Farm, Kathy here.
Hey, it's Mike. My team just pulled off the biggest upset in the history of forever.
Nice, Mike.
Yeah, and some fans are getting crazy. They even flipped over a car.
Whoa.
Turns out it's my car, though.
Oh.
But I don't want to be upset right now. I want to know State Farm's going to take care of this, right?
We got you covered, Mike. Enjoy yourself.
Yes! Woo! Thank you!
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Brian Urlacher joins us. When you look back at the way you exploded in Chicago, the celebrity that comes with being an NFL superstar, what do you remember about the adjustment?
Early in my career, there was no camera phones. There was no InstaFace and Snapbook. there was none of that stuff back then, thank goodness. The guy on Twitter, it's different now for these guys. But most people like putting their stuff out there. I would not have been one of those guys. I'm still not now. It's such a huge jump going from New Mexico to Chicago. And the biggest thing was the media. I finished a game in college, there'd be 10 people in the locker room. Here, there's at least 80 every game. And if we play Green Bay, there's going to be 150. And that was a big adjustment. And then, in public, in New Mexico, no one knew who I was when I went to the mall or whatever. Here is a little different because our fans understand, who you are because they love football.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Brian Urlacher joins us.
Brian, when you look back on your career, and obviously that's what you're doing here, everybody talks about the game against Arizona, the atmosphere in the locker room afterward. I don't think I ever went into a locker room where everybody was just kind of laughing. It was just an amazing comeback. And you were so humble about it. You said basically that they stopped blocking you.
Well, I didn't feel like I was getting blocked, and I missed all that after the game, by the way, because I was out doing an interview with the Monday Night crew, so I got to miss all the good stuff in the locker room. I may have caught the tail end of it. It just felt like I wasn't getting hit there at the end. The first half, there was always somebody on me, I feel like, and they were throwing the ball, they were changing their offense up a little bit. In the second half, they just got stagnant and started running the ball, trying to protect that lead, and then we started doing some things on defense that helped us.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only major league player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who was second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Milwaukee Brewers Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Festival Foods. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
Video conferencing.
And now, Dr. Brian Cole, Chief Doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, with a sports medicine update.
Can weightlifting cause a hernia?
A hernia is a weakness in the abdominal wall. It can happen down in the inguinal region towards the groin. It can happen in the abdomen. There's just a general weakness there. So when there's increased abdominal pressure, such as doing squats, deadlifts, things like that, there's an increased chance of developing a hernia.
Don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly with Dr. Brian Cole and Steve Cashel, Saturdays at 8 a.m., right here on 670 The Score. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Start celebrating the Wolves' 25th anniversary season early by visiting the larger-than-life Wolves goalie mask located up and down Michigan Avenue, and circle your calendar for the Wolves' home opener at Allstate Arena on October 13th. A 4-0 start to the Cubs' seven-game homestand. Now the Mets come to Wrigley after getting trounced by the Nationals yesterday 15-0. John Lester versus Noah Syndergaard at 7:05 on the score. Chris Bryant begins a minor league rehab assignment. The Sox visit the Yankees in search of their fifth consecutive series win. Red Hot Carlos Rodon opposed by Masahiro Tanaka. An afternoon practice for the Bears, and in the NFL, Tom Brady didn't care for questions about his personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, so Brady abruptly ended his weekly radio interview. This summer, visit the Amstel Light display at your local participating retailer to learn how you can earn a round of golf with your Amstel Light purchase. At home or at the 19th hole, choose Amstel Light and make it a light round. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score tonight at 6:30 when the Cubs take on the Mets. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
2-2, fouled away at 97.
What Don Cooper said about his pitch count, it's going to be higher than most people's because he strikes out more, but guys will not put a lot of his moving fastballs in play. Those are the ones that are going to be fouled off because he does have so much movement on it.
Here's Nico Goodrum. This one to Davidson at first. And two gone in the first inning.
That's what you actually like to see. You love to see a few first ball fastballs put into play because that's going to keep his pitch count down. That's going to keep him deeper in the ballgame. So if guys will do that, if they will go up there looking for a fastball strike and then put it in play, that'll happen a few times today. That will help keep him under 100 pitches.
Steve Stone and Jason Benetti on the White Sox call over the weekend, and good stuff as we start to get a larger body of major league work from the man with a very large body himself in Michael Kopech, who comes out there all sweaty and throwing hard, and he pitched well, showed me a lot because he wasn't really all that sharp, and he was still very, very effective.
It's fun to watch a young pitcher like that fight it, but not necessarily fight himself. Yeah, he got a little wild, and there's a breaking ball that hit a batter, and he put him on there, and a couple of shots dropped in, and a couple of singles fell in. But watching him, it didn't feel like Michael Kopech was fighting himself and fighting his mechanics and fighting his command. You'll see that, too. He'll have starts like that. It'll get there eventually. He'll have a bad one. But this was something where, and I love to see it from young pitchers, where you get out of jams. He had four strikeouts in his last start, two in the first inning, one in the third, and one in the fourth, and ended up getting fairly deep into that game and got out of trouble with a couple of pop-ups, some well-placed breaking balls. I thought it was, that is a growing start. The Sun Times has it on the back page, one to grow on for Michael Kopech, and I tend to agree with that. You learn more from yourself, and especially early on, from how you struggle and how you rebound from some of those struggles than you do from just acing guys, you know, than you do from just absolutely darting a couple of fastballs and getting out of it with pure talent. Now, you pointed out something, too, and I'll go ahead and steal it before you say it. That fastball does stay a little straight. It does. And at times, you know, whether that's because he's dialed back some, and it's remarkable to think about Michael Kopech dialing back to 96, just having that.
It's averaging 95.9, and he throws it 70% of the time.
Yeah, he throws a lot of fastballs. So we'll see how Don Cooper ends up, you know, mixing those pitches up around ends up, you know, probably into next spring training and, you know, starting the year, how that pitch mix kind of changes some, because he'll be a guy, Coop will, that'll mix that slider in a little bit more, or maybe he changes a grip on a fastball some and, you know, develops a cutter like he always does with pitchers. But I think in watching Kopech, we saw some growing pains. We saw some learning going on there. And I think for him, doing that at a big league level, and this is kind of, you know, whether it's Kopech or Eloy Jimenez, this is the kind of stuff that I wanted to see from either one of those guys late in the season. And I understand Servetime is what it is. And to a franchise where the White Sox are, that seventh year might be more important to them than seeing this. But there's development to be had at the big league level. And until you have these lessons taught to you at the big league level, they don't exist. You know, the fact that he hasn't walked a batter, Kopech, going back into July, right? Going back into some AAA starts, that's incredible, and that command's great. But doing that at this next step, even if you are facing the Tigers, doing that at this next step means something more than it does if you're, you know, pitching with a Charlotte Knights jersey on. It just does. It just does.
Apparently hasn't walked anybody since July 14th.
Right.
As a professional pitcher. And
which is good. You know, that command. But he, you know, he hit a guy yesterday. He let a breaking ball get away from him. So, you know, take that a bit with a grain of salt. Being able to fight back from even some of those pitches and not give up free passes, that kept him in that ballgame yesterday.
What I want to know is what they know about the difference between his fastball that does move and the ones that just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some very confident swings against him in a way that when you watch this year, when you watch, I mean, well, let's hold him to high standards. When you watch DeGrom and Scherzer and Aaron Nola, like the way it used to be with Arrieta, the pitch mix had guys just looking like they had no chance sometimes. And I don't see, despite his phenomenal stuff, I don't see people flail against Kopech. I did, and sometimes can't square him up. I mean, because that thing's humming.
Yeah.
But they stand in relatively confidently. I don't mind him hitting a couple guys. Really, I don't. I'm not saying on purpose.
Of course.
I'm saying there's an effective wildness when you got that hammer out there.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, and I wonder if some of that is tied to the fact that he hasn't walked a guy since July 14th. The fact that he has dialed it back some, in order to achieve better command and control. Whether or not that is connected with having the swing and miss, or whether that's just a little bit of a different Michael Kopech that's we're going to keep you on the rails here for now. This is going to be our game plan, so to speak. And once we get into spring training, once we have you, you know, now you know, because there's a difference. There just is a difference between a guy getting to spring training and knowing you have a job, and getting to spring training and knowing you've got to fight for a job. And in all likelihood, you're going to be sent down because of service time, and you spend more time in AAA than you'd like. There's just a difference there. So I would assume that Kopech, when he arrives, you know, in Glendale, at that point next year, it's going to be a different approach. It's going to be a different honing of that skill set and of that pitch mix. And maybe you do end up seeing him go a little harder and being a little bit more, I don't know, Verlander-ish, mm-hmm. being able to, you know, start at 94, 95, mm-hmm. 96, and have 96, 97, maybe 98 later on in some ball games.
Third time through the order.
That's what I'm saying.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are filling up here at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern, high above Gallagher Way, right next to Wrigley Field, getting ready for our Cubs On Deck Luncheon. Coming up at noon, after people enjoy some drinks and some fabulous food, we're going to be hanging out with Cole Hamels and Jesse Chavez and Brandon Kinstler, talking baseball and life and other things. When we come back, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see at the Little League World Series, they took a poll of players there, these kids, these 12-year-olds, about their favorite major leaguer.
I did not see the results of this.
I want you to think, who do you think won that beauty pageant for their favorite major leaguer?
This is the guy we've... All right, I'll go through the list.
Just think about it, who it might be. Imagine 12-year-old baseball fan, baseball player you. To whom would you gravitate?
Brian McCann.
You're probably not lying.
Brian McCann.
No, but I've got the answer to that when we come back on the Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach. The starting pitching's been great.
It's been trending in the right direction for quite some time, and I don't think, not coincidentally, that that began right about when Cole Hamels arrived and gave us a little bit of a shot in the arm.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Pros know there's more to a roof than shingles. That's why the Home Depot carries GAF's Lifetime Roofing System. From underlayment and leak barriers to shingles, ventilation, and more. Delivered right to your job site in job lot quantities. For complete roofing systems, get everything you need under one roof. Ours, the Lifetime Roofing System, exclusively from GAF and available at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who was second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Milwaukee Brewers Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Festival Foods. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shear she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score. Official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
What a shot.
Zipser's going to attempt a left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball from the tie. Yes. Bobby Portis has tied the ballgame with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thanks for streaming The Score. We are Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Where in 2018, you'll hear Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer deliver more of this.
Swing a line drive down the left field line. Base hit, Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner. High fly ball, deep right field. Get out the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Brian Flynn to center his first time. Drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball. Home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Hear every Cubs game, spring training through the postseason, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. The Score's Lawrence Holmes on the Bulls.
It's been so nice going to Bulls games this year because for the first time in a long time, there's a lot of hope that goes along with these games. It's fun to be back in the United Center watching what the Bulls can do. This is the place where you can hear all of that excitement go on. You get to hear the growth right here on 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's radio home of the Bulls. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
David Bodie, the guy who actually hit it, joins us again on the Bernstein and McKnight Show as he did Friday when we were talking about some of these memorable moments.
Do you get a chance? I mean, was it worth it that night, you know, last night to kind of reflect on where you've been and the journey that you've had? Or do you save that for another day? I mean, you told us on Friday you're thinking about writing the book. This certainly makes for a hell of a chapter. But I wonder if it's worth doing that, not worth it, but if it's meaningful doing that as often as we on the outside might think that you do.
Not too much. I'm more just enjoying the moment. You know, my wife kind of brought that up to me. It's just saying, you know, sometimes baseball can just give you a moment to just enjoy, you know, just enjoy this time, this moment, this minute.
Dan Bernstein, now in middays, joined by returning Score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Ryan McGuffey, Emmy Award-winning producer over at NBC Sports Chicago. I know that we've talked about Michael Kopech before, but what should White Sox fans expect?
I mean, he's kind of really done everything the White Sox have wanted him to do. He's kind of stuck to their plan. He's struggled at Triple A, and he's come out clean on the other side. And, I mean, look what he's done those last seven starts. I mean, his off-speed stuff had guys guessing, knees were wobbling. The fastball's a fastball. I mean, most people aren't going to be able to catch up to it. But when you're throwing stuff off-speed, that's breaking the way it was breaking, the changeup was just ugly on the in and outside corners of the plate. That was the first time I was like made a note to myself, like, man, Kopech was in complete command, complete control.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
To regain your sex life,
this is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
There you have it. Hawaii wins it. Noka'oi, Hawaii. Hawaii is the best. And the team's final ERA, as you look at that celebration, 0-35. They didn't give up a run in the last 17 innings they played.
Win yourself a Little League World Series. Hawaii, the champions. A lot of youth baseball going on. Actually, kid got back on the field yesterday for the first time in 10 months.
90-foot bases, 90, right?
Yep.
It was, you guys had the whole distance.
It was so much fun seeing these 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds going to 90-foot bases and 60 feet 6 inches for pitching.
That's really tough because you only can play one second baseman. Only one of those kids gets to go out there and make the short throw.
Not to mention the BB Corps bats all at once.
Those are the dead bats, right?
Those are the
metal bats. The drop three, they're all dead.
Yep. 31 inches, 28 ounces, and watching these kids, it's seeing the third baseman, the moment the third baseman picks up the ball and looks and sees how far away first base is.
I remember that.
For the first time. And, but you can turn double plays. Like, actually, you know,
that's true, too.
And you can catch guys stealing now. That extra distance, 90-foot bases for 13 and 14-year-olds makes a big difference.
That first time out at practice, walking out to that field and going out to third base and looking over there, I remember it like it was yesterday because you look over that distance. And you go, I got to throw from here.
It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch.
And you want me to play behind the bag?
And I watched my kid taking BP with the BB Corps, and the very first ball he hit in batting practice, he looks up. He looks up at the coach and goes, "Well, that's different." And he said, "Yep, yeah, the difference between a 31-19, like a drop 12, and a drop 3,
you're hitting a tennis ball."
Hey, man, that's real ball now. It's what you use for the rest of your life. So they conducted a survey at the Little League World Series, and they asked all of these kids that they could find who their favorite player was. There's a survey that goes out, and among the 213 Little Leaguers, I want you to guess. I've got the top six vote getters here for who was listed, and obviously there's a wide range of favorite players.
Of course,
but you're talking about guys getting, you know, like 8 votes, 10 votes, and the leader had 18 first place votes. See how many of these names that you can get. And by the way, the highlight was courtesy of ABC. We appreciate that. How many of these names do you think you can get among... make yourself 12 again.
Yeah.
And assume you're watching.
So you're telling me that baseball's Constable Brian McCann was not part of the voting here?
No.
He did not make the list?
Nor is other member of the MLB constabulary.
Okay, so tell me this. Give me a little bit of a hint here. I'm going to guess that most of these are everyday players, position players, and there aren't so much pitchers on this top six list.
Every one of the top six is a position player.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And why do you figure that?
Just once every 5 days.
Okay,
I think it's the once every 5 days kind of thing. I think kids gravitate more to dingers. I think kids gravitate more to defensive plays. And I think it takes, just a guess, but I think it takes a little while, you know, maybe in the 15 and 16-year-old play, to appreciate 60 feet, 6 inches, to appreciate strikeouts the way I do, anyway.
I think your rationale is outstanding here as a detective. I think you're well on your way.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you then.
Okay.
That Bryce Harper is on that list.
Bryce Harper is 6th.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Everybody loves watching Bryce Harper.
And I think he brings some... I mean, he's part of the reason, you know, you watch baseball. He's part of that show that he puts on, whether it's on or off.
I'm right there. And actually, I will say that when it comes to watching baseball, in a lot of ways, I am still 12. As much as I enjoy watching win expectancies and using the numbers and figuring out all those things, for some of my gut reactions, it's one of the reasons I love the game. One of the reasons I love sports. I can still be that kid.
I'll be honest, too, with three true outcomes being what they are. What did we say it was? 35% of batted balls. What was it last week? Right, home runs, walks, and strikeouts are like 35% of plays. You kind of have to be being 12 more often helps watch that kind of game. At least in my opinion. All right, I got Bryce Harper on that list. I would have to. Mike Trout is on that list.
Mike
right?
Trout is 2nd.
Okay, despite the fact that nobody watches him because he's on the West Coast. Trout's still on that list. That's good.
Mike Trout's got 12, and he is 2nd to the winner by a decent amount because it kind of flattens out after Trout at number 2 there. You've got 2 and you've got 6.
Okay. I am going to give you I'll take a risk here and tell you that Ronald Acuna is on this list.
No, not bad.
Young superstar, you know, young kind of budding player, sort of, and the flavor he plays with. No,
it won't take long. But your instincts are correct because I think he is going to be on that list in relatively short order. And now that Trout is off of there, also think about visibility too.
Yeah,
think about, you know, we like who is put in front of
us.
Well,
then show me Javi Baez,
number 1, the most popular player.
How many total votes did he have next to Mike Trout?
15, 16. I think he's got 18 here.
Oh, okay. It's a bar graph. Can't. Okay. 18?
Yeah, I can't do the math
versus
on the
bar 15-ish, graph.
So
you're, like that?
Javier Baez was the most, the winner of the most votes for favorite player. After that, it's Trout. There's a pretty steep drop off to Mike Trout. Then Mookie Betts.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Then Jose Altuve.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have thought of that.
See, I always thought Jose Altuve because he's the everyman.
Tiny.
Because when you're a kid,
he's the size of a 12-year-old.
You see someone who's your size mashing Major League Baseballs and doing what he does.
Yeah, all right.
There's something to that.
All right.
And then it's Aaron Judge and then Bryce Harper. Baez, Trout, Betts, Altuve, Judge, and Harper among the 213 Little Leaguers. Javier Baez earned the most votes with 18, and he received at least 1 vote from 8 different teams. So
interesting.
He is well represented across the board. There's a breadth of popularity too.
Complete guess, but if the kids were made to vote for pitchers, or you know, set it aside here, who's your favorite position player, who's your favorite pitcher, I would say you get Sale, you get Syndergaard, and you get DeGrom.
Yeah.
You know, those are probably your top three. I don't think Kershaw.
You don't think Scherzer too?
Yeah.
Scherzer. Yeah, probably Scherzer too. Yeah, probably Scherzer. You get that East Coast thing. You get all those strikeouts. He's old, though, is the thing. And look at that list. There's not your old guard isn't well represented on that top six list, right?
I mean, what though? You know what I know?
Who's the oldest player on that list? It's Trout?
At 27?
I think it's Trout.
Judge is close, though. Judge
came up late, but not as late as we think. I think maybe 26, maybe he turned 27. All right, so it's Judge or Trout, two of those guys. Yes.
But it just shows you that it doesn't take long for somebody like Javier Baez because of the and I think a lot of it, too, is Twitter, Instagram.
I think so.
And how telegenic he is and how well his highlights, his moments translate to shareability. You know, you don't have to watch whole games. You don't have to see. They're just things that he does. And the way that he dresses, the way that he carries himself when you're a kid, that's just cool.
Yeah, you can watch it in two replays on Twitter. That's a lot. Or Instagram, really. I think that's where the kids are headed or kids are pushed.
Judge is 26. Trout is 27.
Yeah.
Here's what's amazing. If Mike Trout were accidentally vaporized today, he's a Hall of Famer on merit.
Done.
By the numbers.
Over.
Done.
Ball game.
In Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. I went to a rooftop to watch the Cub game yesterday. For the first time in my life, I went to a rooftop. A friend of mine had some tickets for an event she was hosting, so I went and I was watching the scoreboard, right? The big one out in right field, because we were kind of tucked behind the left field scoreboard. And I had noticed the slash lines, kind of the numbers on Javi Baez, right?
Okay.
That 298, 335, I think is where it was at yesterday at one of his at-bats. I forget if it was his first or second at-bat that I was looking up there and seeing. And I just talked about this yesterday, but my buddy was at the game with said, man, that split between the average and on base, even despite his, you know, slump, the 22, 25 at-bat slump that he really kind of struggled through, and this Cubs offense subsequently struggled through quite a bit before they swept the Reds for a four-game set for the first time since 1945. Javi Baez has been steadying force in the Cubs lineup all the way up until the acquisition of Daniel Murphy, and obviously up until whenever they get Chris Bryant back in this lineup. Because I think despite where they've been at offensively, you kind of forget how good mm-hmm. Chris Bryant was for that first 6 weeks.
He's their best player.
Because of the struggles he's had to keep healthy the entire way through.
Still their best player.
He certainly is. I found this, too. I got a couple of... Well, we'll do it, I don't know, 11 o'clock. We got the midday midway. Maybe I'll squeeze some of these numbers in before we get to Cole Hamels and Brandon Kinsler and Jesse Chavez here at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. Our final event here at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern, and it should be a good one. But David Bodie, we did not do it to David Bodie. We're fine.
We didn't make him bad yet?
We're off the hook. Okay. We are off the hook, yeah, and I can prove it to you. Everything's cool with David Bodie again.
Good. We can rest
easy there. I'll prove it to you later on.
Coming up in the midday midway, I have a bit of football television technology that made people irrationally angry, and I'm not exactly sure why. I also have an artwork that created a real-life Bugs Bunny Roadrunner moment.
Okay. We're going to check in with our guy Mark Deeks on the NBA. He tweeted out some interesting stuff just this morning, and I will also eat some crow. It's possible that I was pulled into the hype by PJ Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. It's possible that I was warped by an acronym that doesn't contain an everyday vowel.
Well, the why is the how, right?
The how is the people, and that's the where you get your French fries on a lunch menu.
You're becoming mesmerized.
I don't
by
quite
PJ
understand.
Fleck.
I might have been drawn
fight
in,
it.
And I will eat
fight
some,
it. Fight
will
against
eat some
it. Good. That's coming up on the midday midway. We're an hour away from our wonderful guests: Hamels, Chavez, Kinsler, the Cubs on deck luncheon presented by AZEK Building Products and Xfinity. From here at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern. Don't go anywhere. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks. for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only major league player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who was second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Milwaukee Brewers Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Festival Foods. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shier she shed.
Can we stop seeing she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
There are two kinds of people, those who go home to change and those who roll with the times. Wrangler makes jeans for the second group, the trendsetters, the mavericks, the leaders of the pack, those who are bound by nothing. From bull riders to rock stars, from work life to nightlife. You roll with the times.